This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Shavua Tov. I thought that I would start the week in the morning with a name that we haven't mentioned for some period of time. And that name belongs to Beatty Deutsch. Mm. Some people may remember that she is the lady who runs marathons. She is ultra-Orthodox, and she is a mother of five. And she has been out of the news over the last few years because she's been recovering from an injury, a running injury. But Beatty Deutsch very much is back. She goes also by the name of Marathon Mother on social media. And she participated yesterday in the Berlin Marathon. Now, she was there in her private capacity and not officially as part of an Israeli delegation. There were another two Israelis as well who were there also in their private capacity. Beatty was in touch with the organization, the organizers of the marathon. They met with her the day before, and they asked her whether she intended to be visible as an Israeli, whether she intended to wear some identifying T-shirt or something like that that would identify her an Israeli. And her answer was absolutely yes. And so they said to her, okay, that's fine. And when she set out to run her marathon, after a few kilometers, she understood that these two cyclists who were alongside her with yellow shirts on were actually security for her. Hmm. The organizers had arranged for two plainclothes policemen to accompany Beatty throughout her 42 kilometers. And there's some great pictures that show the security officers on their bicycles. They rode alongside her for 42 kilometers to make sure that she was safe. She was very visible with her Israel on her T-shirt. Incredible. And also wearing her usual modest dress, which means that her shirt had long sleeves, which means that she wore a head covering, which means that she also had like a skirt on as she ran along. And she completed her marathon in 2 hours and 40 minutes. Beatty is very much back in business.
Absolutely incredible. Interestingly, inspirational.
Interestingly, we already know that she won't be participating in the European Athletic Championships in the UK next summer because the race is on Shabbat and she doesn't run on Shabbat. So we already know that she won't be there. And her comment about this is as follows. She says, "My relationship with God and Judaism is the most important thing for me. I won't let running stand in the way of that. If I have to give up on certain athletic goals because of my religion, I don't see that as a sacrifice. I see it as a privilege."
Unbelievable. What an inspiration. Just really, really phenomenal. It's really just incredible. And yeah, certainly we watch her career with great interest. Can we just talk about the fact that Prime Minister Netanyahu is going to be meeting later today with President Trump at the White House? So there's this deal that's a 21-point plan on the table. There was lots of talk about meetings last night at Netanyahu's hotel. What do we know?
We don't know a great deal. And when we hear about this 21-point plan that President Trump has theoretically produced and he has spoken about, we don't really know exactly what the 21 points are. There's been quite a lot of speculation about what the 21 points are. And wherever I see attempts to try to dissect exactly what this 21-point plan means, it doesn't seem to be uniform across everybody who's commenting on it. So I'm not going to try and to present what we believe the 21 points are, but it is clearly a plan of some sort to bring the hostages home and to end the war in Gaza, and all of that is very welcome. And what's most welcome is that the Trump administration is fairly uniform in their view, which says, don't drip feed us with hostages. Release the hostages and end the war. Let's just do it all in one go. He doesn't, he's not a very favorable to the idea of two hostages now and three hostages next week and another, the way that we saw things done earlier on in this war when hostages were freed. It was all very psychological warfare. And more than that, what we saw afterwards was the fact that two hostages were taken along to one of those hostage release ceremonies and then taken back to their dungeon afterwards. They thought that they might even be involved in being released, and they weren't. And you can't get more evil than that in terms of psychological warfare. That was really like, and then they, of course, released pictures showing these two hostages witnessing the release of other
Yeah, I remember
hostages
that.
and then
Shocking.
being taken back. So that was really, like
Evil.
extreme as far as psychological warfare goes. But the Trump administration is very determined in saying release all the hostages. Then I saw somewhere that he spoke about releasing those that are alive. And then releasing the dead bodies, so sort of two phases, which also sounds like it could really work if indeed that is what is agreed upon. I have no idea what the Prime Minister will be asked to agree upon in their meeting later today. The 21-point plan apparently is what's being presented. We understand that there were meetings with Steve Witkoff and with other representatives of the administration to try to hammer out a plan. I think that the Netanyahu side of this agreement is the relatively easy side. I have no idea how this will pass through Hamas, how Hamas will be convinced to accept what is being proposed. Convinced is, potentially a slightly weak word because I think that there will be a lot of pressure being exerted by the US administration on Qatar
I was going to
and on
say, surely that
Egypt.
pressure will come via Qatar, especially because I
Right.
think I might have read that one of the conditions is that Israel won't go after Hamas in Doha.
Right. So, well, it won't go after them again after the last failed attempt. And that may well be something which would be relatively easy. I mean, if indeed the hostages will be released, and if indeed the plan is to ensure that Hamas has no part in the future of Gaza, those two critical points are really the main objectives of the ongoing war. And so, if those two points are indeed presented and agreed upon and adhered to, I don't see why Israel would have any qualms with any of the other terms. Honestly, I mean, I'm not quite sure what Israel is being called upon
To even agree
to
to.
deliver. Yeah, to deliver as part of this arrangement. But I would imagine that almost anything else would be just quite an easy yes. So I've no real idea exactly where this is all going. And to be fair, I mean, I'm not that optimistic about this going somewhere. I mean, I think that the Prime Minister today would probably come back saying, yes, it's relatively easy to agree to if the other party agreed to it as well. And therein lies the wrinkle, therein lies the difficulty, because I've no idea how Hamas are going to sign up to this. The moment they hear all hostages were released in one go, or potentially in two goes, dividing up between those who are alive and those who are dead. I think Hamas will immediately say absolutely no to that. They've sort of sent out this message of optimism, saying, "Oh, well, we haven't really heard about any arrangement, any agreement, any potential agreement, but we are open to the idea." And they've been sending out all of these positive messages to try somehow to win world opinion over and to try and convince people that they are indeed not the trouble, not the problem, not the obstacle. But I suspect that when push comes to shove, and they are being asked to give up the possibility of having any influence in Gaza in the future, when they're being asked to release the hostages essentially in two stages, I think that those two aspects are really contrary to what their objectives are. So I'm not optimistic, but I'm extremely hopeful.
Yeah, so let's go with that, because it's better than the alternative. Okay, well, staying in New York, let's just talk for a moment about what happened on Friday with Netanyahu's speech at the United Nations. I found it to be incredible that world leaders are prepared to get up and walk out when someone like Netanyahu is speaking, but of course allows any terrorist to address the United Nations. Like, what has happened to the United Nations? I looked at that and I thought, what a farce this is. This is really just the death of an organization. But that's my framing of the story. Give me yours.
Let's just agree that the United Nations General Assembly speeches have absolutely no impact on anything. Let's agree for this from the start, from the get-go, that whatever is uttered there is purely words, and some of the words are really vitriolic. But they're just words, because nobody seems to really care or take any guidance from the speeches that have been delivered at the United Nations General Assembly, not only this year, but indeed in prior years. So your statement about, the world leaders getting up and leaving, I think it gets even a little worse than that, because Netanyahu's speech was the first one on the agenda on Friday morning. And those people who didn't want to attend could just have arranged to come late. That would have been an easy thing. Leave the hall empty, don't turn up, and come late. But that's not what happened. Everybody turned up. And then, as Netanyahu entered the hall, they got up and left. So it wasn't just, "Oh, we don't want to be there." It was, "We want to send a message that we're walking out." And there was a massive scramble for the doors as Netanyahu entered the hall. And there was a huge jam as people were scrambling to try and get out of the hall. And of course, to make it very public and to show that it was important for them to demonstrate that they were leaving the hall. They all turned up well on time on Friday morning. And then, of course, made this a very hasty and noisy exit. The Prime Minister's speech itself, I would say, was not quite as polished as he has been in previous years. He stumbled on a few points here and there, and there was a little bit of scrambling around to get his pen out so that he could mark off the achievements that Israel has had since the last time he stood at the United Nations a year ago. And in fact, it was ironic that it was almost a year to the day since the assassination of Nasrallah in the Hezbollah leader in Lebanon. It was almost exactly a year, the day, I think the anniversary was a day after his speech. One of the major controversies around his speech was the address that he made directly to the hostages. And he addressed them in Hebrew, saying that he had asked for speakers to be placed in strategic locations in Gaza in the hope that the hostages would hear him speaking to the United Nations. And he started by saying, "Our dear heroes, This is Prime Minister Netanyahu speaking to you from the podium at the General Assembly of the United Nations. He addressed them in Hebrew and then in English. And there is a potentially some logic to that because we did hear the released hostages saying that they had from time to time managed to get snippets of news through the TV, through the radio, through things while they were captives in Gaza. And the messages that they received from these snippets that they got were very, very strong in their in creating resolve. They understood that their families were protesting. They understood that there were efforts to try and release them. And so the logic about trying to address them from the United Nations podium had some basis to it. The problem was that IDF soldiers were asked to place these speakers in strategic locations around Gaza, which many felt risked their lives because snipers could come out at any moment and could simply take them out because they were going into parts of Gaza which were clearly unsafe. And so mothers of some of those soldiers have come out saying, why would the Prime Minister want their sons and daughters to go into Gaza and to make themselves unsafe just simply in order to send this message to the hostages? And some of the hostage families also came out criticizing the idea. I'm not sure. I quite like the idea of trying somehow to get through to the hostages. I do agree that risking the lives of any IDF soldier in order to achieve that was not okay. But I quite like the idea of trying to speak and send messages to them
Well,
through speakers. What do you guys think? I don't know.
Let us have your view. I'll tell you that I think it did something a little bit different, which I thought was quite positive, is that it sent a message not only to the hostages but to the world that you can talk about all sorts of things, but we've still got our hostages there. And he spoke directly to them in Hebrew, addressing them directly with, you know, and I thought that was actually very, it was a very powerful message to the world, not only to the hostages, that it showed how relevant, real, and immediate it is. So I just think that that might be a different angle to consider, but I happen to think that it was a smart thing to do. But let us have your thoughts. 0618951019. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.